faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead, wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or are one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. Our daily media reminds us of the tough challenges facing many young people. And although we might believe that Christianity provides some of the answers, many local churches have very few attending, with some 25% of Anglican churches having no children or youth work at all. But this week we're delighted to turn the spotlight on a charity that's having an enormous impact for Kingdom Good. The charity is Kick London and reaches around 10,000 young people through a range of activities centred around sports and activity. And I'm joined by its CEO, Joe Lowther, to tell us about the journey and his own work since coming as CEO. So welcome, Joe, to the Leadership File.
Hi there. Nice to see you.
Now, I said it was Joe Lowther, and I forgot to check the pronunciation. So is Lowther the way you understand your name?
Yeah, Lowther, L-O-W-T-H-E-R. It's proud to be a Lowther and excited to be here.
Good stuff. So, I mean, Kick London reflects a root in football, but you do more than kick a football.
Absolutely. We now deliver... We were founded initially around delivering football, but we've evolved over time and we now deliver 20 different sports. So football is 1/20th of the sports that we deliver in schools. We deliver 12 street dance disciplines, from hip-hop to musical theatre to locking and popping, etc. We also now deliver solutions-focused mentoring and resilience one-to-one coaching, and we now also provide chaplaincy to schools. So football is, we're proud of our football heritage, but football very much is just, an if you like, an element of the array of different things we now deliver.
Okay. And in terms of the popularity of the different things, is football, again, just one of 1/12 of things in terms of what people show up for?
Yeah, so in our schools, when we're delivering in schools, football is often a sport selected by the schools, perhaps for a six-week half term, but they'd rotate around various different sports right the way from rugby, cricket, tennis, hockey, gymnastics, athletics, basketball, netball, through to Paralympic provision or korfball. We're even looking at creating our own sport in something called Skip to the Beat, which is around skipping to a pulse beat and speeding up and slowing down, etc. So very much, really, football is an element, but increasingly just another part of the work we're doing.
Okay.
In schools. In our work with churches, we have a proud heritage of offering, of training churches to run what we call Kick Academies, which are more football orientated in the community, as churches sort of effectively do some football coaching, an inspirational thought from the Bible, and then matches. But again, we've also now developed a street dance academy that we can train churches in, again, to do some coaching around particular moves, then an inspirational thought from the Bible, and then they can learn to do routines, building towards a performance piece. And in addition to that, we're also developing a multi-sport kick academy for churches, where they can receive a wider range of sports. So again, increasingly, we're taking a trajectory away from just delivering football. Because, you know, although it's a beautiful game, I'm a big fan of it, there's a whole load of young people out there that we want to reach that aren't as interested in football as others. And so that, again, for us, is really important that we reach as many as we can do.
And I appreciate that boys and girls increasingly are playing football, but football was traditionally a boys' sport. So does the street academy kind of work include more women as well, more girls?
Yeah, in my ignorance, I very much assumed that too. I thought we'd set up dance to be able to involve a load more girls. But interestingly, street dance as a dance discipline is 50-50 male-female ratio.
Is it really? Well, okay.
Boys love it just as much as girls. Uh-huh. And we're really keen not to do ballet or contemporary dance, which are much more, if you like, girl-centric, to involve a wider range of young people, boys and girls. And if you think about things like breakdance, locking, popping, house or hip-hop, that those areas have really attracted a wide range of male and female participants, and we've been really pleased about that. In addition to that, that around girls' football, that is the fastest growing sport in the world. And so, again, we're really excited to be, seeing more and more girls involved in sport and excited about sport. I was at a primary school just yesterday, and I asked one of the girls, did she like sport? She told me that she was captain of the cricket team and rugby team.
Wow.
So we're really excited by that. And, to see girls involved and engaged in a whole wider range of sports, we're really pleased to see that and are encouraged, because for us, sport is a vehicle for us to reach young people, to teach them strong values and to demonstrate God's love, declare the gospel, bring young people to a point of decision, and see them discipled in church. So those things are important to us.
Yeah.
We're excited by that.
Now, I mean, you reach around 10,000, I said in my introduction. So it must be hard to steal some of those down into stories. But just for listeners who are unfamiliar with how this kind of happens, have you got any kind of any stories that illustrate the sort of things you do in terms of how young people are helped and blessed?
Yeah, so maybe if I just try and break it down. So our model is effectively in three stages. The first stage is we go into schools and we deliver a PE national curriculum, transformational street dance, solutions-focused mentoring, and schools-based chaplaincy. So we deliver those four professional services in a school environment. And then we train churches to deliver what we call these kick academies around some coaching and inspirational thought from the Bible and matches or routines if it's a street dance one. And so for us, that's a stepping stone, if you like, to coming back to church. We're really disappointed to see that 4.5% of kids now attend church, only 4.5%. That's 95% not coming.
Yeah.
Seven times more likely to be playing sport at the weekend than you are to be going to church as a young person. And so for us, a number of the stories really relate around some of our work in schools with individuals, but also in equipping churches. So, I mean, if I think of one, we were working with a kid called Barney. Barney was on the autistic spectrum, and we worked with Barney. We encouraged Barney, and Barney was referred to us for some mentoring. We started by looking at, Barney, what's important to you? What would you love to achieve as part of this mentoring provision? He just said, I've got no friends. And we said, oh, Barney, why is that? And he said, well, I go into the playground and I shout at people and I say, I want to be your friend. And for some reason, they don't want to be my friend.
Right, bless him. And yes.
Barney, what we tried to do is we started to look at what empathy meant and what's developing his self-awareness and what social skills were and how we evolve those and how people don't always love being shouted at. And with Barney, what then happened was he started to grow in confidence, grow in his self-awareness, and would come into our session and say, I've not just got two friends, I've got three. And so effectively, we'd set targets with him around that. That's maybe a story from our mentoring in our schools. But, I mean, one of the stories I absolutely love is from our local churches. A church approached us and said, we did a lads and dads sort of session with the kids and a few parents, 10 people came. But we'd love to know how to share the gospel through this. How do we do it? And so we said, look, we'll train you in how to set up a kick academy. We trained them. They went through some training. And then effectively, we were in a couple of schools locally. We were able to fly those schools on the Friday. And on day one, as the academy started on the Saturday morning, 40 kids came
Wow.
from the community. Week two, 42. Week three, 44. Week five, 54. They had to cap it at 65 kids.
Wow.
Because of the volunteers, which was just amazing. And then a single mother came down to the side of the pitch after a few weeks and said, "Look, what's going on? Why on earth are you doing this?" And she said, "You're not making any money from this. Well, what's the point?" And so they shared the gospel with her. And she gave herself to the Lord at the side of the pitch.
Oh, so wonderful, isn't it? It's
just amazing. And so effectively there, she got baptized in December and now brings all five of her kids to school, to church, sorry. And so again, that's just something that we're really, that's a story perhaps we're really proud of how we've been able to reach kids in schools, develop voluntary-based kick academies in the community through churches, and see young people make a transition from school and into church. For us, you know, we love sport, we love education, but we also love faith, and we would love to see young people being able to make informed decisions around church and around faith.
And encouraging churches to have the confidence that actually they've got something that can offer, and that some of these, you know, sad statistics of church attendance by young people can be turned around.
Well, I think, you know, one of my favourite examples is the first church 16 years ago that got involved with Kit London, Holy Trinity Richmond. And essentially they had a vicar there who had a really evangelistic heart. And he turned up to church one day and he said, "Guys, we've got to come in to church half an hour earlier. For the sake of our young people." And so instead of starting at 10:30, they started at 10, and they did Sunday morning, Sunday school, and at 11:30, all the kids went out to a new kick academy where they'd received the coaching in Space and Thought and matches. And then at 1:00, they'd go home for Sunday lunch with their folks. And so the Bishop of Kingston, I think, described it as reinventing Sunday school,
yeah,
where instead of kids having sport or church in competition, they had sport and church together, aligned. And so for us, you know, we want to train and equip as many churches as we can to be able to offer kick academies as a way to re-invite children to church, to explore matters of faith on the football pitch or in the dance studio or wherever it is, in a local park or playing field or studio or even inside their church building. And effectively, as I say, these ways of doing things are just, we've just got to be different. A kick academy can happen on a Tuesday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, before church, after church, Sunday afternoon. So again, as a, if you like a product, it can happen wherever you'd like it to, and be led by local people in their local community to engage their local young people.
Wonderful. Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Joe Lowther. Joe is the CEO of Kick London, and we'll be back just after this. And welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Joe Lowther. Joe is the CEO of Kick London. We were talking before the break of the different ways in which they both minister within a school environment, but also help churches to minister and to reach out into their neighbourhood, and how the ministry is seeking to change some of the sad trends of how few children and young people are attending church at the moment. So moving, Joe, to the kind of leadership dimension of this, you served as a head teacher. So I guess it's a bit of an advantage for you you kind of get schools and know what they're looking for.
Yeah, well, it really has helped when I've gone into pitch to head teachers, understanding a bit about what they're going through, what it's like to sit on the other side of the desk. Essentially for us, you know, when I'm going into those meetings, I understand Ofsted requirements, you know, the whole world of teaching, I guess, and also how the funding works. And so essentially what we've tried to do is reimagine sports coaching and how we can be as helpful to schools as possible. Having experienced as a head, some external providers sort of offer sort of so-so, if you like, quality. For us, we've really looked to try and think about how we can provide coaches that make a real difference and become a part of the fabric of the school.
Great. And I mean, the sort of leadership you provide for Kick London, Joe, obviously that's a very different world from the world of a school.
Yeah, for me, I've just recently been studying an MSc in charity change management.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Been really, really helpful in trying to look at the variety of different leadership styles, from coercive leadership through to transformational leadership and servant-hearted leadership. The one that I've really settled on as an approach for us as an organization is authentic leadership, which is very much committed to values that dictate behavior, relationships that lead to connectiveness between staff members, self-discipline, which ultimately, you know, should equal consistency of behavior, a real heart that leads to compassion for those you're serving, and ultimately a purpose that is that everyone can get behind and really live out with passion. And so for us, authentic leadership is the style that I think has been most helpful. Obviously, at different points in an organization's trajectory and growth, you need to apply different types of leadership. I think when I first came in, we had 7 staff and we had a deficit of 60K. And so I had to really do more transformational leadership in that particular moment. But by the grace of God, we were able to break even that first year and not go under. And we've grown from 7 staff to 51 in the last 4 years, which has been thrilling. We've grown from engaging 2,500 learners a week to 10,474. And it's just been a thrilling experience to be on this journey. I've felt like a passenger as God's been driving things forward. I've really known his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But what I've just tried to do and learn from past experiences, past things that have gone well, past things that haven't, I think you learn so much from mistakes you make, is really around trying to do things in an authentic way to who I am and who and what the organization needs. And again, that's just been really important for me and I believe for the organization.
Well, I mean, those stats are quite stunning, Joe. So we maybe explore that if we have time a bit later. I mean, people working in schools have to be very careful about proselytization. So you've talked about your concern is for faith, but obviously, you know, you need to be very cute as to how you engage with schools. I mean, your job is not there to go and share the gospel as part of your school's program, I'm sure.
Yeah, for us, we love Billy Graham's 4 Ds. The first one is to demonstrate God's love. So we go into schools and we teach Christian values. 9 of our 12 values are the fruits of the Spirit. So in December, we taught peacefulness. In January, we taught perseverance. We taught compassion in February. For us, we're trying to teach strong values, and our schools tend to love that. If it's a Church of England school, particularly a Roman Catholic school, they really encourage us to go as hard and fast as we can around teaching these Christian values.
Okay.
In a community school, they'd probably say, please teach the values, but they're all universally understood. Just please don't mention God. And we'd be fine with that, provided we can invite them out, the children out to a academy locally, where we do that second D, where we start to declare the gospel, where we start to help young people make an informed decision, so they can maybe come to our annual football tournament, where we do some group stages. We then have a sort of gospel talk, where young people can make a decision about what they think about God. And after that, they do the group stages. They do the knockout rounds. To then reach this fourth D, where we hand over to the local church. We don't have capacity to disciple thousands of young people. That's what the local church is there for. And so, again, we're really keen to partner with local churches to see them then disciple these young people. These 4 Ds, demonstrate, declare, decision, and discipleship, which Youth for Christ and Billy Graham have famously put together, have just been really helpful for us articulating how we, at the different stages of what we do, are faithful to the different environments we're in.
Right, good. And so back to how things have, you know, blossomed in the last 4 years. You know, you very graciously, you know, talked about the grace of God, etc., and which is acknowledged. And but you must have done doing some things right. And you know, as you look back, what do you think enabled both the finances to turn around and to have an increase in numbers of staff?
Yeah, I mean, we developed a 5-year strategy around 5 areas. One was growth. We had a growth mindset to expand our work against all the odds, really, in terms of our deficits. Secondly, was to have the funding to do so. And our model charges schools for professional services, so it isn't heavily reliant on churches giving. Our third area was to put the church at the heart of our partnerships, and that was a strategic decision to really have a clear focus on the church. Fourthly, was to develop the quality of the services we provide. So we have 12 days of professional development for our staff. We bring in the FA and the RFU and the NFL, a range of different providers, as well as we've had some professional development from London City Mission around apologetics and Bible overview. That's been great. And then finally, to keep our Christian ethos central, to follow Jesus' example in the way in which he loved young people and was relevant in the way he communicated with them. And so for us, around these 5 strategic aims, we prayed really, really hard into developing our strategy. And we looked to be led by the Spirit wherever possible around creating that strategy. And that for us, I think, is a kind of cornerstone, really, of how we've grown, is that we sought to be faithful in prayer at the start, develop a strategy that was intentional, and then execute that with everything we had. And God's really blessed that, and it's been thrilling to see that happen.
Well, that is terrific. So, I mean, sadly, time has defeated us or defeating us. But in terms of how you see things developing, Joe?
Yeah, for us, our vision is to our mission is to transform young people's lives with God's love through sport and support. And so the way we define a transformed life is to see individuals progress, communities socially impacted, and spiritual change of both individuals and their communities. And so for us, that's our mission and, if you like, our theory of change. Our vision is to place a kick coach into every community in London that would like one and then go wider. So we are exploring tentatively how we might respond to a national question, because people keep coming to us and saying, please, could you do this work elsewhere in different parts of the country? So for us, where we're going is really to continue to grow and reach as many of these children and young people as we can. You know, we reach 10,474 learners a week, but that's just 1% of the population of young people in London. And that's not good enough. We've got a lot more to do and a longer way to go. So again, you know, we're really pumped about reaching as many children and young people as we can.
Well, that is fabulous. And obviously, if listeners are in the London area, then obviously they want to be wanting to log on. But also, folk beyond that, it's exciting to think that maybe they might be served in due course as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Anywhere within the M25 is our remit right now. So not just the London boroughs, anywhere within the M25. But we are really strongly considering expanding our work further afield, and again, we're very excited to do that. Mm.
Yes, our church is a mile south of the M25, so we don't quite fit, sadly. But maybe when you expand, we'll.
It's close enough. We do work in Cheshunt and Dartford.
Okay, this is Reigate, so
we'll try our best. We're open again. You know, we want to go where there's need, and. Sure. Wherever we can reach these young people, we're keen to do that.
Well, Joe, it's inspirational to chat with you, so thank you so much, and exciting to hear of all the things that God is doing in and through Kick London. So thanks so much for your time.
Bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and thank you for your time.
Okay, bless you. Well, you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Joe Lowther, and his charity is Kick London. I'm guessing, Joe, that the website will be something like kicklondon.org.
That's cap.org.uk.
.org.uk. So if you want to find out more, go to his website and go to the website and you can find out more, especially if you're in the London area. So exciting to see what God is going to be doing. Do log on to Premier's website and find archived versions of Leadership File, including this one in due course. You can go to the store, Premier store, and get a copy of my book, The Leadership Road Less Travelled. And look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30 or via podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.